Places, everybody. Places. Places, everyone. Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 19 for Friday, August 29th, 2014.
From the still under construction fatbike.com studios, this is your Weekly Dose of Fat with your host, Sven and Gomez.
Bienvenidos, amigos. Yo soy Gomez.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Joining us in the studio today is JK Livin.
Hey. And we have the Fat Bike Radio Orchestra, today conducted by Sir Christopher Daisy.
Zion Cyclery.
This show is sponsored by the Surly Junk Strap. Because, I mean, who doesn't like to have their junk strapped on tight? Learn more all about the Surly stuff at surlybikes.com.
They'll appreciate that if you go check out their website. Hey, before we get the show started today, I just want to give a shout out to my old man. Today would have been his 83rd birthday if he'd taken the ride this far. I do miss you, Pop.
And this week, we're going to toast Alan Smith.
With?
Some Abbott Ale. I went to the fancy groceria and beer place there in Burlington. And bought a beer. You know, I walked up and down the aisles and stared at a lot of labels.
Were you a beer stoner in that place?
I was.
There's so much beauty in the store.
Till I saw this naughty vicar looking back at me from this label on the Abbott Ale. It's a tall can of British long-cooked beer.
It's a true pint-sized beer.
Yeah.
So when they say you're having a pint, you really are. I mean, what kind of beer is this exactly?
They said it's a English bitter ale. I get the bitter part.
Well, here we go.
Oh, it's from Suffolk.
Cheers, boys.
Bitter. You know what?
It's from Suffolk, England.
Suffolk? That sounds dirty.
Yeah, well, I'm doing a pronunciation like it'd be Norfolk, Virginia, with Suffolk.
Suffolk.
You gotta say it right.
It's maybe got a little twang to it. I don't know. Is it bitter like all British people are?
Well, a lot of times when they have the ESB style beers, they're not that bitter. It's more caramely to me.
Yeah.
But where's Colin when you need him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a beer. It's from England.
An irresistible
this
ale.
Style beer is called an amber ale. We're just doing our best Colin imitation.
Hey, you know, Colin did break his foot, so we got to give him a little shout out and hope you feel better, Colin, kind of
heal
a thing.
Heal up fast. All of my Jedi healing powers are now focused on your metatarsals, dude.
Yep, and you could pour this beer right on there and speed it up.
So basically, our 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning beer buzz is sponsored by Abbott Ale. So we'll be right back with Joe Graham from Graham Cycles right after this.
When it comes to fat bikes, Zion Cyclery in Zion, Illinois has you covered. They stock fatties from Surly, Salsa, 907, Borealis, and Trek, as well as everything from 45 North. The staff is friendly, the mechanics are top-notch, and they stock the largest selection of fat bikes in the Chicago-Milwaukee area. There's a mountain bike park and some great beach riding in Zion, so come, make a day of it. Call 847-746-2200 or visit zioncyclery.com.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We're getting Joe from Graham Cycles on the horn here in just a second. Let us do our little technology thing. We'll just make that happen for you.
So today, our special guest on the Weekly Dose of Fat is Joe Graham from Graham Cycles out in New Hampshire. How's it going there, Joe?
Hi, Joe.
Oh, it's going great today, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Living out in the Shire there, does your shop have a round door on it like the Hobbits do?
Actually, it's very interesting. So the place where I live is part of an outdoor education center, And while my house is a regular-looking home, they have what they call some Cree houses here, and the kids affectionately refer to them as hobbit houses, and they are buildings totally covered in earth with small wooden doors that are about the perfect size for a 10- to 13-year-old. And so while I do not live in a hobbit house, I live near a Shire-like place.
That sounds idyllic.
Man, that's crazy. We, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I kind of have a gnome fetish. So if you could take a picture of one of your fancy bikes in front of one of those crazy houses, I can pretty much guarantee it'll get on our site.
That's pretty
good. I will make that happen this afternoon.
All right, right on. So today we have Joe on the show because he put together a cargo fat bike that's called the Chubby Pony, right, Joe?
That is correct, yep. It is my personal fat utility cycle truck.
Nice. So how did the name Chubby Pony come, or is that completely X-rated and we'll have to bleep out a bunch of stuff?
The Chubby Pony name was actually inspired by the horse at the farm that we live on. So, you know, as I said before, it's an outdoor education center. And they have a small, you know, a small farm operation so that the kids can see, you know, they can work with animals, they can work in a garden. And one of the animals we have is some breed of a Norwegian pony that's basically a chubby pony. And just watching the horse kind of, you know, go to work and the things that the horse is used for sort of inspired the idea of this bike, of it being kind of a workhorse bike.
Cool.
Yeah, awesome.
Nice. So, this blue and yellow bike, is it? What's it made out of, the frame?
The frame is a combination of, you know, U.S.-produced 4130 steel and some tubing from True Temper, which, is also 4130. The True Temper tubing is used for the main triangle because it's lighter butter tubing, and then most of the rack and the fork and the rear end is constructed from straight-gauge 4130.
Cool. So the integral racks... And truss fork. Does this have a truss fork on it?
It does have a truss fork on it, yep.
That's some pretty delicate welding. How many hours of fabrication do you have in on this thing?
You just say how many hours of construction time?
Right, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Most of the bikes I build, you know, can be anywhere from 1 week to 2 weeks of construction. This was a little more extensive project because, you know, the frame and a fork and the integrated racks. You know, I probably spent on and off maybe 3 weeks to a month doing it. It was, you know, it's a side project for me, so I did it in a lot of my extra time and, you know, kind of like my Friday afternoon time.
What kind of drivetrain does it have on it, Joe?
I've got it set up with a 1x10 using Wolf Tooth components, 42-tooth giant cog on the rear, and a race face 34-tooth narrow wide ring on the front. I think I may have to switch to a slightly smaller ring in the front, but so far I've been able to pedal up some pretty significant grades, you know, even with a passenger on the back. I think if I was riding up like extended kind of long uphills with a lot of load, though, I would need something a little lower than what I have right now.
So what kind of tires and wheels are you running on that?
Tires and wheels were set up with the Surly Modge Light rim, and I've got a set of black Floyds that are nicer 120 TPIs for the tires. And, you know, a lot of people have asked me, hey, why is this a fat bike? Because, you know, certainly there's plenty of utility bikes out there that aren't fat. And my feeling on it was kind of, you know, I wanted it to be a fat bike because I thought that the extra volume of the tires would be nice when you really put some weight on it and load it up, that it would have a good ride. And I thought that, you know, like it almost has handling characteristics like a motorcycle, because it's a longer wheelbase and with the combination of the fat tires, you can really lean it over in the corner and feel like you've got tons of traction and tons of stability.
What kind of trips do you typically do on it, Joe?
What kind of trips do I typically take it on?
Right. Yeah. How do you use it? What's kind of a typical day on a long tail fat bike?
Yeah. Well, so far, I use it getting around the camp here. You know, I'll throw tools in the front. I occasionally will throw some things in the totes that I've made for the back. Ideally, when I first envisioned the bike, I was living in Syracuse, New York, and so I was close to everything. I mean, right now I live about 15 to 17 miles from the nearest town. I used to live a few blocks from the nearest grocery store. So initially when the bike was conceived, you know, I was going to use it for grocery runs, if I needed to run to the hardware store, all those things. Now that I've moved further away from a city, it's not always possible to take all the time to bike down there. But I hope to, you know, I hope to use it for some of those things. Days when I have time, it would be awesome going down to the grocery store and just toss up in the totes, or, you know, if I run it down to town and I need, you know, I need to pick up some supplies. So the box on the front is actually perfectly sized to hold a case of beer. And so that's going to be a key transportation need for the bike, I believe.
Absolutely. Always important to be able to protect those precious bottles of beer.
Exactly.
So you told us before we went on the air that you sold your car and that this is going to take the place of your car. So we look forward to hearing more about it. We'll have pictures of Joe's chubby pony on the show notes. And it's been great having you on the show. We hope to talk to you again real soon.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
This is Wyatt Ritka with Wyatt Bicycle Company, and when I'm not building bikes, I listen to Sven Gomez on Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, quit playing with yourself.
It's the weekly dose of fat.
All right. Welcome back to the radio program. This is your weekly dose of fat. I know Gomez was trading emails with Mike Kiriak. What'd you learn from Mike, Gomez?
Well, Mike was, I contacted Mike because I'm finally going to go tubeless on my fatback. And he sent me a link to a really nice shot of his gorgeous new Ericsson Fatty that is, he's running 29 plus.
I think we saw that bike at NABS. I think it was under construction and Brad was pointing it out and very proud they were making a bike for Mike.
Yeah, Mike has owned some of the most beautiful and innovative, unique Thai expedition bikes. The one that comes to mind is the Moots bike that had stove fuel storage in the forks, and he's still running on this Ericsson a bar that can hold fluid in its center.
He's got some good ideas.
There's a link to click if you love the Thai bling, check it out. Ericsson's welds are as good as anyone in the planet.
You know those guys, both Kent and Brad, came from Moots, so right. they've got the chops.
Absolutely.
This is the final piece of the puzzle for the secret word facet of our Dog Days of Summer contest that we've been running all month. This week's secret word is fun.
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 There is...
Fun?
Fun? Michael popped his head up over there at that word.
I like fun.
There is a link in the show notes all about the contest. If you didn't hear about it yet, you still got time to enter. Lots of ways to do it. Just check it out.
Yeah. You can put all the words together, send us a video or photo. We've been getting quite a few entries.
Awesome.
We have a pretty awesome prize package of Surly products, and 45 North has some of those sweet merino tees for each of the
three. Oh, I love my merino tee. That's one of my favorite shirts.
So the IMBA Summit was last week. Representatives from around the country met to discuss all aspects of mountain bike advocacy. IMBA tweeted about positive news from the BLM for mountain bike access and mentioned that they are having discussions about setting their policy on e-bikes on mountain bike trails.
Well, I bet that'll open a can of worms right there.
Yeah, our readers definitely always react to anything that we put up in the e-bike realm.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that, you know, one of the guys that when I read that story is one of the IMBA founders. He's 71 years old. And doesn't mountain bike much anymore because he's 71 years old. But he had said that the e-bike opens up some stuff for him that he would not normally be able to do. So I know there's these kind of things where, well, it'd be nice for him to be able to do it, but is some crazy guy going 30 miles an hour up a hill trying to beat your Strava time, should he be able to do it? So there's all these, you know, tons of arguments, obviously.
Well, you can always keep up with all of the IMBA news at www.imba.com.
And there's a story on the salsa blog that I found pretty interesting. A guy named Steve Yore discusses doing the Leadville 100 on a salsa bear grease and how fat bikes have changed even in just the last couple of years from 38-pound behemoths to these, you know, sub-24-pound race bikes that are legitimately capable of doing a race like that with a guy with some power. And his goal was to earn the belt buckle, which you have to do that whole race in under 9 hours. Basically, the story goes through how he managed to do that, and he did indeed earn the buckle. There'll be a link in the show notes.
Yeah, woot. Congratulations there, woot, Steve. Woot. We give him like a serious huzzah.
Yeah, that's an awesome accomplishment. And he was not the only fat bike in the Leadville 100 this year. So in that kind of conditions, you know, he said one of the things he mentioned was that, you know, he obviously lose a little bit on the faster paved portions of that or the fire road portions, but that he was able to get traction in a lot of spots going up those long climbs like Columbine, where other people were not getting traction on their traditional mountain bikes. So take a read on the story. And if you have more interest in what Salsa is doing, they updated their website to include all of the new 2015 models that we saw at Saddle Drive a few weeks back. They got the Bucks on there. They've got my favorite bike from Saddle Drive, the Blackboro. There's a couple links in the show notes, one to Salsa Cycles and one to the story we did from Saddle Drive that explains why they would name a bike Blackboro.
Or why they wouldn't name it Gomez.
Will have a bike named after him sooner or later. It's just a matter of time. He's just collecting up enough money to pay somebody to actually, you know, name it the Gomez. El Gomez.
El Gomez. So from Eurobike, we now have all of the facts and figures on the Schwalbe Jumbo Gym.
Yay, Schwalbe.
Yeah, so German tire maker Schwalbe is going to make two widths, a 4.0 or a 4.8.
Good on you, man.
And both sizes can be had in either a snakeskin or a light skin sidewall. They say it can be run tubeless quite easily, and they have the legendary. Again, this is like the legend of the sub-1,000-gram fat bike tire.
With knobs.
So, yeah. Send us a sample there, Schwalbe. Yeah, let us weigh it and rail on those things.
I'm looking forward to Schwalbe doing a fat bike tire because I ride their tires on some commuter bikes and whatnot, and they roll really well. I'm hoping they can take some of that low rolling resistance genius that they have and they apply it to a fat bike tire. That would be sweet.
Absolutely. So our friends at Pink Bike got the scoop over there at Eurobike, and the link is in the show notes.
They've got a bigger budget than we do for travel.
Yeah, you know, someday we'll go to Eurobike.
We will. We will have.
I'll make sure to have some ironic facial hair. And
are they ever going to move it to Norway? Because if they move it to Norway, I'd go there for sure.
Oh, well,
move Eurobike to Norway, and we'll show up.
All right. Do you hear that out there, Eurobike cats?
Yeah, do it.
Norway.
If you want, to see us at your event, which I'm sure they do.
Oh yes.
The guys from over at Fat Bike Brigade did a recent sub-24 overnight in the Strawberry Narrows. I think that's in Idaho.
It's like three brothers from Idaho, right?
Idaho, I believe, yeah. So it looked like a pretty interesting trip. And talking about fat packing on fat bikes, doing a 24-hour overnight trip, link to that in the show notes.
Very cool. And the last item on our list is we've been getting some events here that are fat bike events that are not in the winter. So
you can ride your fat bike and it's not snowing out?
It's crazy. Apparently it's there's some crazy. Other crazy people out there in the world. And this particular event is the Wisconsin State Fat Bike Championships up in the suburbs of Green Bay. It's in a place called Kewaunee. And it's kind of cool. They get it here. Their description of the course is single malt, single track, robust bench cut, smooth and flowing notes with an earthy finish. Now that's an event that just screams, let's go do that. Let's go have some fun.
It's at a former ski hill, so it's got some elevation change. And
yeah. And it's going to be a serious race.
Did you just walk up that hill, or did they have a rope tow? Because I don't think they had any chairlifts there. But
I think it's a defunct ski hill.
It's defunct.
And this is part of a 10, 11 race series called the WEMS series, the Wisconsin Endurance Mountain Bike Series. So it is a serious race.
And, yeah, they're doing a whole fat bike portion with the other guys out there running their normal
mountain bikes. And it's sponsored by our friends at Broken Spoke Cycles up there in Manitowoc.
Ooh, go George.
George Capitz.
Hey, you know what happened? You know what happened last year when I went to the WEMS race? I was at the Fat Bike Championship last year, and George went out on his lap, and his hamburger disappeared into my stomach while he was out there racing, and I didn't think he'd notice, but he's been holding me to owing him a hamburger for a year now. So
you should go up there and
probably ought to go up there and make good with my hamburger.
You should go up there and cook hamburgers for those guys.
Cook hamburgers for George.
So if you would like your event put in a event spotlight like we've done for this WEMS race, and next week we have just a fun festival event in Italy, and I know that that's not even the only fun rendezvous of fat bikes that's going on in those warmer months, contact me, gomez@fatbike.com with a hyphen in there, and or go onto our website and use our event coordinator tool to put your event in there, and then it'll just take a day or two for us to approve that. So get in there early, get your event put on our calendar, and then send me a flyer.
Gomez loves flyers,
cool flyers. So if you have a nice flyer made up for your race and it's fun and it has a real fat bike flair, send it to me and we'll get it up on site.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a fat bike only event as long as it has a fat bike component to the event.
Right.
And then
right
it will on. Go on the calendar. And you know, if you write about or blog on the web about fat bikes and you'd like us to check out what you've got going, you can shoot me an email to greg@fatbike.com and we might just mention you on the show.
And we're really looking for a ladies aspect. You know, this is going to sound corny. Here's your Uncle Gomez. Hey, all you late fat bikers out there. Well,
Let's get the vicar.
Just say Beetlejuice three times. And, we have a test bike that we're going to get that we need a lady to ride. We need a lady's perspective on fat biking. So you can send your email to Greg. He loves the ladies.
Love the ladies. All right.
Thanks again to Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast. Surly did have its roots, English roots, about the nobility's behavior.
Oh, did they now?
Because it's like, oh, they're acting surly.
I see.
So you're baiting like the nobility, arrogant. And
yes, we are arrogant, aren't we?
The king.
I like that.
Of surliness. The duke of surliness. The viceroy.
All righty. Well, that's what we've got for y'all this week. We'll see you next time.
Adios, amigos.
Ay, ay, ay! Ay!
That was loud.
Yeah, it was.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.